Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we are unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is David Garcia, and this is my beautiful wife, Grace Garcia. And today is season 2, episode 26. We're back on track. We're back into the rhythm of things. And speaking with the rhythms of things, how has everything been with you with teaching? Last week, you opened up about the hardships of starting school back on, and how's everything been? I guess for the audience, I guess to hold you a little accountable, how's it been, you know, with the things that we talked about? How's it been with planning things, organizing things, getting life back on track?
I feel more confident, I think, with my routine.
Mm-hmm.
I do still think I am pretty tired. There's a little spider I noticed. But the weekend up until yesterday, I was feeling super confident, like motivated, encouraged. And then today I'm just tired. So I was like, oh, good. But I think I just have to realize that some days are going to be good.
What was it yesterday that you were saying that you felt like productive, that you felt on top of it? I remember you asked, you asked ChatGPT for everything, yo. Like, you're going to be one of those codependent ChatGPTers where
I'm
you
sponsored.
You asked it for like a cleaning schedule to like stay on top of things or something like that. And you did it yesterday and you were walking around doing your usual. Do you see me?
Mm-hmm.
You seemed pretty happy yesterday.
Yeah. The whole weekend. Monday, yesterday was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was just today, I'm like, okay, I'm tired.
Yeah.
It's midweek.
But I mean, Mondays are usually like your super long day, and then you're also trying to recover from that long day.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to do it with the schedule that we have is kind of hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, anything else that you think is noteworthy to update?
No, I don't think so. What's new with you?
With me? Check this out. No more boot.
Why?
I'm having a little Forrest Frank moment. No, I'm just joking.
A lot of people are joking about it.
I know. And that's why I brought it up right now. I watched this.
You just want to be included.
No. But I watched this one dude that pops up on my feed on YouTube. I think his name is Rooflin or something like that. And some of the stuff that he does is like kind of Christian gossip. Like there's like not really like a point to it. It's just like, oh, this is what's going on. And today I saw a clip of I guess Corey Asbury or whatever
got a vasectomy.
Yeah, and he did like a joke about it, and a lot of people I guess thought that they were boys, like they were friends, but they're not. And so it was like a legitimate like I'm making fun of you type of thing. And maybe he doesn't believe him, or I don't know what the heck is going on. But then Forrest Frank came out with like a response, and he's just like, dude, like this is for real. It's like, I don't know what you guys, he's seen like a lot of people like make videos about it. And I mean, I could not understand, but like, you know, I could see why people are like skeptical, you know, like somebody who broke their back and like, what was it, like 2 or 4 weeks later, he's just right back at it. And all, he makes like this hit song, and like Lemon into Lemonades or whatever. And yeah, it's crazy. But no. This is not a Forrest Frank moment. But I did go to physical therapy for the first time in my life, and they gave me good news. And I didn't go into the appointment with the boot. I went in with a brace, and he kind of looked at it and he was like, "Did the doctor tell you to wear that?" And I just told him, "Nope." And at the very end of it, he's like, "Yeah, take off the brace. Like you don't need it." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, "Okay." And he had me do these things that made me really, really nervous. Like, he was like, oh, grab onto this bar and jump, hop. And I'm like, in my head, I didn't say it to him, but I'm like, in my head, I'm like, does this dude, like, did he not hear me? Like, I have a sprained foot. Like, how the heck am I going to hop? But I did it, and I'm like, oh, I could hop. I didn't know I could do that. Like, I guess, like, I mean, this could turn into a message in itself, but I'm like, in the moment, I was like, there's no way that I could do all this. Mm. Like the things that he was asking me to like stand on a platform and jump off and land on my like sprained foot, whatever. And I'm like, what the heck? But I could do it like pain free. And I'm like, oh, that's crazy that I could do that. And he had me going through all this stuff. And at the end, I asked him like, hey, so give it to me straight. How bad is it? He's like, that's not that bad at all. I would say it's like low to moderate sprain. And you'll probably be back running in like 4 weeks. Mm. And I was like, it was great news. So now I'm walking on it. He has me do like three little exercises, which two of them are kind of, he told me not to push past the pain. So like, but I do feel like a little bit of pain when I'm doing it. It's like a ankle rotation. And the other one is kind of like flexing your ankle with your knee going above your toes or something like that. But point is that it was good news, and I'm happy. I'm very happy that I'm going to be running back again.
Yeah.
Shout out to, look at this. but yeah, that's my biggest update. And oh, I've been, I brought it up last time, right? I'm trying to learn how to swim.
Yeah.
And right now I'm like quote unquote self-taught, like completely all just clips off Instagram of like form and stuff like that. I think I'm like completely off, but like I really want to practice just like the basics and then go into classes and then maybe a coach after. And I've been trying to do laps, and my pool is only like 25 meters long. And the first couple of times that I did laps, I couldn't even do the full 25 meters, which like for like actual swimmers, like 25 meters is literally like a walk from here to right there. But I couldn't even do it. And then little by little, I've been getting to the point where I can do it. But I'm really trying to practice my form, and I keep sucking in water and just like gulping all the chemicals that are in that water. I'm just like, oh my goodness. I'm low-key panicking. The cool thing is that the pool only goes as far as 5 feet. So I'm never going to drown, thank God. If it was deeper than that, I'd be a little worried. But yeah, it's been really good.
That's awesome.
But yeah. So yeah, might as well get along with the episode. Today, I kind of wanted to talk about this whole ankle situation. And the kind of crazy thing is that I had this topic planned since last week. And we went to church on Sunday, RTLA. And the preacher preached about something similar to what I was thinking about. The message was expect the unexpected or something like that. And so it was very similar, you know. And the thing that I was thinking about is life's curveballs. So many times we have plans and curveballs are thrown our way, right? An example, I remember me and you, when we first got married, we were long distance. So our plan was, we've been long distance. We've been together maybe what? Like it was like 6-8 weeks total out of 2 years or something like that, right? Because I would come visit like once, like for 1 week every single time. And it would be every like 3 months, right? So it was like something like that, six-ish weeks or whatever. And so we're like, we obviously need to, you know, get to know each other more and, you know, like just live up life, just me and you, right? And 7 months in, your mom passes away. And then at the same time, we find out that you're pregnant. And I remember being shocked. Like when you told me, I was shocked. Like I remember you telling me, and in my head, I was like, give her a good reaction. And the only thing that kept coming out of my mouth was, you're lying, you're lying, you're lying, for about like, I don't know, what was it, 3 to 5 minutes? Like I couldn't say anything else. And I felt bad. Because I'm sure you were like, you were maybe like a little bit nervous, or you were like, this wasn't our plan. And it probably would have made you feel a lot more secure had I been happy and embraced you and like, we're going to do this together. But like my reaction, I'm assuming, was just like, bruh, like this sucks, you know? And it's not that it sucked, but like I'm saying, like my reaction, like in your head, was like, that's not the reaction I was looking for. But it was like a curveball, like 7 months in, like we were still going through our own issues and stuff, like big time. And then we get pregnant and just like, okay, on top of your mom passing away, on top of you know, all of our issues that we had. Okay, now we're introducing a baby. And then I remember you were, and you've talked about this, where you were thinking like, okay, I need to be positive because everything that I think and everything that I feel is you know, the baby feels. And so it was tough. It was tough. And I remember even before marriage, you know, the curveballs that I've talked about, the life threw at me. And there's been times where there was one time that me and you finally started our financial journey. And then it was not so long after that your car just... Oh, no. We had a lease and we're like, we can't continue this lease. We got to get rid of it. So we need to buy a car and we had to buckle down. But then there's been times where your car broke down and we were on our financial journey. My car broke down completely where we had to buy a new car. Like there's been all these curveballs. And I thought about it. I'm like, how many of us are on this journey of like, I want to be better every single day? And sometimes, you know, we get a good start to whatever it is that we're doing, whether, again, it's spiritual, it's financial, it's marital, it's relationships, whatever it is. Like, we get a good start and we're like, all right, this is going to be awesome. And I think some Christians, you know, think, oh, you know, like if God is on our side, nothing's going to go wrong. And I'm sorry, that's not true. And we start going and all of a sudden life, God, whatever you want to call it, throws a curveball in our way. And what's usually like the first question that people ask when a curveball is thrown their way?
Like, why me?
Almost always. This is like, why me? Why is this happening? And a lot of times we feel like because we're trying to do the right thing, good things should be happening to us, right? Like, that makes sense. Like, why would bad things happen to people that are trying to do good? But it just works out that way. And like, I feel like the first thing, I don't even know what word to call it, but the first thing that I want to like clear out is like, no matter how good you are trying to live your life, no matter all the right things that you're trying to do, no matter, all the right moves, all the right habits, no matter how much you've tweaked your life, no matter how much you've adapted, like it doesn't disqualify you from curveballs being thrown your way. Would you agree?
Yeah, for sure.
And so I wanted to talk about that because it's just like, how do we deal with that? It's inevitable. So we must talk about it. Because I feel like to equip the people who are listening to this podcast, to this episode, that have been listening for a long time, you're on this trajectory, right? You want to be better, but there's no like avoiding like these curveballs. There's no avoiding these hard times. There's no avoiding these unexpected things. Like, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then if, I forget what the quote is, but it's something like, we should only really worry about the things that we can't that we can control. The things that we can't control, we just have to be okay with it, right? Something like that. And so the curveballs that we get in our life, a lot of times is things that we cannot control. Like, for example, your mother getting breast cancer. Your mother passing away, can't control. And I'm sure you and your family were, why us? Why me? Why is this happening? Like that's almost the go-to response of something happening, right? And especially again, like you guys were a priesthood family, you guys were serving in church, you guys were all involved. Like you could say you were all doing the right things. Or I mean, not perfect, obviously, but like you were doing the right things. And for God or life or whatever to throw this curveball. You guys, I can just imagine, like, why? This woman has purpose. This woman's got, like, this great anointing. This woman, we believe, is going to help so many women. Like, mm-hmm. I remember she wanted to open, what was it,
like a woman's shelter, kind of?
Yeah, like a woman's shelter. She had all these plans, and she was very, like, ambitious with those plans, and it was always to bless other people.
Yeah.
Like, she had her own business. And she made a good amount of money, but I feel like the little that I knew her, I always felt like the things that she had was never just for herself or for her kids. Like, she always tried to bless many people. And you've told me stories of times she spontaneously just blessed people. Mm. And so, like, you could fully understand the question of why me. And so I guess initially, I might as well ask you, like, initially, what was your reaction with that curveball? And then I guess kind of your perspective of how you handled that curveball, how you handled it. And then also, if you could go back in time, would you tweak anything of how you handled it? And again, it's hindsight, right? Because when you first get that curveball, it's just all these emotions that you weren't ready for, right? So it's hard to, like, stay centered and focused and, like, okay, this is the right way to deal with this.
It was so long ago already. I don't even remember how old I was when I found out. I remember, like, there was something wrong because they were being super weird about it. And I was like, I think they're going to tell me bad news. I think I called you or something. And I was like, I think they can tell me bad news, but I think she has breast cancer. They weren't, like, straight up saying it. And so I remember that, but I don't remember how I felt. I'm sure I was, I feel like shocked to the point you're like, you're in disbelief almost. So for a while, I think we were just in denial. And it was like, oh, she's going to get better. She's going to get better. I was in denial. I think we were in denial for a long time.
That denial, what do you think was the purpose of that denial?
I think it's self-protection. I think it's not wanting to feel the emotions, not wanting for them to be scared too. Like, I think part of it was protecting her. And yeah, I think a lot of it was covered in the name of, like, faith. Like, I have faith it's going to get better, I have faith it's going to get better. But I think it was a lot of denial.
And then if you go back and change of how you dealt with it, obviously hindsight, right?
Yeah.
You're seeing it from the outsider's perspective now. What would you have done differently, if anything at all?
I would have hoped, I would have, like, sought therapy during the process. I doubt, I don't know if my family would have, but, like, at least, like, a family therapy or, because I wouldn't want to tell her, like, oh, you have to confront it, but maybe if a therapist walked her through it and, like, all the family, just to have closure, to really be prepared for it, to brace for it. Because, yeah, I think we needed, like, help facing the reality.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, life's curveballs can be, like, unexpected. They can be painful. Most of the time, no, all of the time, they're surprises. And one thing that I've always said, and I've said it here, is, like, when you expect something, it's less of a surprise and you're ready for it, right? But it's when the surprises come where you're completely thrown off. Like, it throws you off balance. Like, it does shake you, you know? And those are the moments that you aren't really ready for, you know? Like, your true essence, your true character comes out in those moments. Because when you're ready for it, you can brace for it, right? You can brace for it. You can be like, this is how I'm going to be in this moment. If this happens, you know, this is what I'm, how I'm going to react. But when you're not ready for it, like, boom, you're knocked off balance. And you're just like, what the heck is happening? Like, there is no, like, again, there is no, like, recentering or refocusing or, like, let me get a grip. Like, it's boom, you're knocked off balance. You're like, why is this happening? What is going on? How do I control it? And for me personally, it's always been the control thing. Right? I'm a very controlling person. I've always tried to control things from a very young age. And the things that I can't control, I usually tend to, like, push away. And so for me, like, what brought up this topic for me was really, like, this whole ankle thing, right? I was about to run my first marathon, which is for me was a big deal. Like, I love goals. I love reaching goals. I love accomplishing things. I love excelling at things. And so I was training, I was doing everything how I thought was, like, you know, properly. I was running all these miles, and then all of a sudden, just running, like, I'll continue repeating this, like, it's very annoying to me that, you know, like it's understandable, soccer, football, basketball, you know, you're making these sudden movements. It's all about agility. And like, I can understand you twisting your ankle in those moments, but just simply running and your foot just decides, I'm going to go sideways right now. And you're going to land on it and you're going to hear a crack and you're going to be fully sprained. Mm-hmm. Like that to me was a curveball. I was not ready for that. And I remember like the first, like, was it 1 or 2 days? You just kept asking me over and over again, which was not helpful at all. But like, I could understand somewhat, like I didn't understand if you were trying to bug me or if you were truly concerned. It seemed like maybe a little bit of both, because the way that you would ask was like with a little bit of a smirk, like almost like you wanted me to be. But you just kept asking me over and over again, like, are you depressed? Are you depressed? Are you depressed?
I didn't want you to be. I'm just trying to gauge.
But the way that you would ask, like, it wasn't like loving and like, oh, here, babe, like, I know this is rough on you. Like, are you okay? Are you depressed? Like, no. You'd like laughing, like, like, are you depressed? Are you depressed? You good? You good? And I'm like, what the heck? But I'm assuming the reason why you were asking me that is because you knew how much it meant to me to do this full marathon, right? It was like a big first accomplishment. And so this curveball gets thrown at me. You ask me these questions, and I honestly never felt like I was obviously depressed. I never thought, like, I wasn't really rocked. I had like a small moment of like mourning, I think, where I'm like, it's over. But for me, what helped me was like, it's over right now, but I'll come back and run. You know, it's over for me now. But there's more races ahead. So this sucks that I'm not going to be able to do it when I wanted to do it, but it is what it is, you know? And I mean, those are two different things, right? Like it's not like your passing of your mother. It's not like you can say like, oh yeah, like I should be back in like a month or whatever, and we'll do this all over again. You know, like, no, she's gone, and you're gonna have to wait until eternity to be able to see her again, right? Mm-hmm. But the one thing that, like, again, I just want to bring home is curveballs are gonna happen in some way, shape, or form. Curveballs are gonna happen, and sometimes they happen when you least want them to happen, which means like that's when you're fully locked in. You're fully like, I'm on this. I'm going for gold. I'm going for my goals. I'm doing all this to really change my life and make it better, right? And there is a Bible verse, 1 Peter 4:12, which says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. And I mean, it's true. Like, name me one person that has been able to avoid a curveball, to avoid something that they weren't expecting. Like, there is, you can't, right? And so, here's what I want to get at. There is a scene in The Chosen. I think you saw it. You know which one I'm talking about. Okay, so there's a scene in The Chosen. If you haven't seen The Chosen is a really good show about the life of Jesus. It's really well done. It's probably the only Christian like show or like depiction of Jesus's life that I could fully endorse. Like most of them, they're not done right. The production's like all messed up. Like it's just not good. But this is the first one where I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And whoever I've told to watch it, they've said the exact same thing. Wow, this is amazing. So the scene that I'm talking about is in season 3, episode 2. And to give a little context, right before this scene, Jesus was telling the disciples, I'm sending you guys out 2 by 2. I'm sending you guys out to preach. I'm sending you guys out to heal all the sick, to cast out demons, to give the good news, right? Mm-hmm. He tells them this. And okay, I will make a little note here. The following scene that happens here is not biblical, as in like there is no like biblical evidence that this happened.
Like artistic creativity.
Yes. There is no biblical evidence that this exactly happened, that James had this condition, that they had this conversation, right? Mm. But here's what happens. And I believe that the reason why they put this in here, though, was because they know that there's a lot of Christians going through something similar. Mm. And like, could that have happened? Yes. Did it show the characteristics of Jesus? Yes. So I think there's a purpose to why they added it, right? And like I said, it was because they wanted to connect with those feeling the same way. And so little James is one of the disciples, and he's got like a limp to him. Like he's got a disability or something in his leg. So he keeps limping everywhere. And so Jesus tells them to the disciples, this is what you're going to be doing. And then in the next scene, little James like goes up to Jesus and he asks him like, you really are giving us authority to be able to heal other people? And Jesus answers, yes, I am. And then little James goes, isn't that weird that I'm messed up over here and I'm going to be healing other people? And Jesus asks him, like, do you want to be healed? And little James goes, of course, like I do, like if, you know, if it's in your will or whatever. And then Jesus kind of responds and it tells him like, it's God's will. It's the Father's will. Like it's aligned with God's will to be able to heal you. But if I healed you, you would have a great story, right? Like I would heal you. And then all of a sudden like, oh, like God healed me. I had this thing and you know, I'm healed. And he tells him there's hundreds, thousands, and maybe millions that are going to be able to have the same story as you. But there are so much more fewer that can have a disability like yours and continue to serve me, continue to praise me, continue to worship me, and continue to doing the works that I'm calling you to do. And how much more is that going to impact the generations to come than to simply be healed and be able to say that Jesus healed me? And he said something else. He said, there are some people that need to be healed to be able to believe in me. There are some people that need to be healed of the sickness that doesn't allow them to believe in me. Mm-hmm. But you, having this disability, have followed me, have served me, are one of my disciples, have been walking with me. And he just tells them like, your life and your story is going to impact the next generations to come for many, 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 many generations. Like your story, your testimony, right? And the way that I put that with this is like, a lot of times we ask, why? Why is this curveball happening to me? Why is this curveball happening to me? Why is it happening now? Like, why? And again, some Christians, we have this thought of nothing's ever going, if I serve God, nothing's ever going to happen for me. When we pray, what do we pray for? We pray for protection. We pray that nothing bad happens. And we say, may the enemy never attack us. May you cover us with your blood. And all that in between the lines is we're skipping along and nothing's ever going to happen to us. But things are going to happen to us. And part of the why is because there is a testimony to follow with it, right? And I go back to you with your mom. I remember that after everything happened with your mom, after the grieving happened, you all kind of started to shift your mind into like the purpose of it. And so I wanted to ask you, like, when you went through that, what was that shift? When did it happen? And what is the ultimate, I guess, testimony of it?
The shift, I think I first had to, how you said, grieve, process it, like face my emotions. And so it came after seeking therapy. Like, I think Elijah was like 1 year old. So it was about a year and a half, a little more. And I went to therapy specifically like for my mom. And so I had to have a lot of tough conversations, face a lot of emotions that I was like shoving under a rug. And so it came after that. And then it came when I was like seeking God. Like I was taking Bible classes, like reading my word, journaling. And then it was random. It was like, I think it was like a class about like Paul's letter or something. And we're talking about, I think, one of the culture laws or something. It was like so random. And out of nowhere, I feel like the Holy Spirit like brought me to mind a verse in Revelation. And then I was just like, oh, thank you, God, because you proved to me. And the whole like revelation I got from it was, you proved to me that some people will see your wonders and see who you are, and their heart will get cold. And like, they don't care. Like, they're so far gone. They can see what you're doing. And yeah, like, they get worse. And I was like, thank you, because this happened and my heart didn't get cold like it could have. But it didn't, which proves to me that my faith is not in like my mom's God, but my faith is just like on you. And so I think that's beautiful, because they say like salvation is a gift, but for you to experience it and you to know that like nothing is taking it away, or like no one could take it away. Not even like world, the life's ugliest stuff that happened, knowing that you still have that gift and that your salvation is for sure because it's on Christ. That's a beautiful, I think, certainty, knowing that whatever happens, you're planted on Jesus. And there's no way to go through that until it gets shaken, and until you can see, you can say, see, that's why my faith is secure, because I was able to like pass this or whatever.
Yeah. And I remember, you've said it, I've heard, I think Melody say it, where you guys were like, we feel like we had every right to just turn away from God when that happened. Like, it was too much. Like, that was one of those opportunities. I wouldn't call it opportunities, but one of those moments where just like, you feel in the moments because of all the emotions and all the loss and all the grief, where you're just like, why am I serving this God? Like, why am I doing this? Like, you took my mom away from me. One of the most meaningful people in my life ever. And you took her away from me, you know, and you guys could have easily, you guys have both said it. Like, I could have easily just gone to the world, but you guys just were like, but for what? What do I get out of it? Like, and I think I heard you guys basically say, like, you serve a living God. Like, I think it was like a song that you brought up. I think it was like Akianire. And that was one of those many pivotal moments that you had, where you were like, why? You were angry. And then it was just like that song. I think either it was playing during like a worship session or something, or you were playing it.
It was a service. I think it was like the first time I went back to church and I didn't want to go. I think like the whole family was making their, I don't want to say debut, but like after my mom passed away.
Yeah.
We were like, let's go. And I was like, it's too soon. Like, why are we going? And then, yeah, that was a song. And so that happened pretty instant. Like, then not turning away from God with that song was right after her death. But I still, like, was obviously upset, mad, like, didn't want to open up my Bible because of all the, like, the way God worked. It's like, God, this person didn't see your promise, and this person didn't see your promise, and not understanding. And so I knew I wasn't going to leave, like, not believe in him. Like, I knew that wasn't an option immediately, but it took a lot of, like, wrestling, and I would say about a year and a half, maybe two, until I really got to that, like, the purpose of it all for my life.
There's a verse, 1 Peter 5:7, that says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. In the scene of Jesus and little James, and this is why like I'm okay with this scene, that, you know, there's no biblical evidence, but it shows the characteristics of Jesus, because Jesus wasn't like, yo, buddy, just deal with it. You know, he met him with it at his emotions. You know, he's like, I know that this is hard for you. And I know that you wish that I could heal you right now. But there's so much like a weight of purpose on your shoulders that you are going to make such an impact, you know? And in the same way, I feel like your guys' testimony, since your mom and your dad were in the public eye, to see her children not stray away, to see her children, you know, go through the emotions but still be faithful to God, you know, I think is such a huge testimony to a lot of people, you know. And I've heard a good amount of women tell you that, like, wow, like, for you to go through what you went through and still, like, you're like a beacon of faithfulness, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy. It's not easy because, again, so many of us, like, I remember Melody as well with me, kind of told me the same thing with the things that I went through with my father. She would tell me over and over again, like, you had every right to be not the greatest of father. You had every right to be like, if I didn't get it here, like, how am I going to give it anywhere else? Mm. But she's like, you chose to be a good father. And like, that in itself is a testimony, right? Like, it's those times where you get those curveballs. It's those times when you get some hardships or rough paths. And you tell the story for people to be like, that could have only been God. And that could have only been faith in God to be able to carry you through that, because a lot of other people would have turned the other way. Right?
Do you think, a question for you,
mm-hmm.
as you were talking about your ankle, and then right now with this story, like yours and mine, do you think when the ankle situation happened, the reason you weren't like, I guess, didn't fall into depression, it was like, just gave up everything, I don't care about mm-hmm. my fitness journey anymore. And then same thing right now with your like childhood, you could have said, okay, a lot of crappy things have happened to me, maybe more crappy than good. Like, why does it matter? Do you think it's because of, well, you said faith, so mm-hmm. I think that obviously plays a huge role, but we know that like faith without actions is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe for people who haven't gotten life like thrown at them in the face yet, or maybe have and there's more to come or whatever it is, like, did putting, I guess, a strong foundation help? Because I always see it of, if you are fit, you're working out, you're doing work, and then you get injured, it's easier to come back versus you've never worked out at all, you get injured, you have a way longer road to recovery. They even said, I think there was this girl who said, it was on a TikTok, but she got in a car accident. And the doctor was like, do you lift? Do you like do weight stuff? And she's like, yeah, like your muscles like were the only thing that saved you. Like some basically like,
wow,
she could have easily just crashed, but like her bones, I guess, were stronger. I don't know, like protected with the muscle.
Yeah.
That it made a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think like, yeah, it's not that life isn't going to be easy for some people, but it'll be easier to bounce back when it does come because of the foundation of the work you've put.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the foundation, the habits, but also the spirit. Because when I was going through the things that I was going through with my father, I wouldn't have called myself a disciplined person in any aspect, really. So I believe that it was faith and the spirit that God placed in me that carried me through that, right? Like, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, do you think like your mom placed the foundation for you, like through either prayer or like teaching, or maybe you're
talking about like a faith foundation, like,
yeah, just like you saying, like, not wanting anything to do with God, like you moving forward.
Oh, yeah, no, that for sure was my mom, like. I mean, I grew up in church, and that was thanks to my mom, because my dad went for a little bit, but then he quit church or whatever. My mom stayed faithful, and I'll always like say it over and over again. Like, my mom was the faith warrior in our house. She was the one who
did she make you, or did you just see her and wanted to? Because there's some that are like, you're coming with me, but like if your dad didn't go.
I've never really thought about like, oh, like I saw my mom and like I was inspired by her and like, yeah. I like, but I think it was just like a mix of the environment that she made, you know, like
yeah.
I never was like, oh, I want to be like you, you know, like, cause I mean, she had her flaws and her flaws usually
came out
on me, right? Like,
yeah, I just imagine kids saying like, oh, my dad's not going, I don't want to go. And so, like, why were you going?
I mean, yeah, okay. Like, I would attribute, again, to my mom. She was the one who laid down the roots of faith.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one who was disciplined in going to church. As many services as there were, there she was, and there she took me. And, yeah, she laid the foundation. Why? Because there's sometimes that we would have to take the bus to go to church, and we would take the bus. Sometimes we lived a couple of blocks, and I would skateboard beside her going to church. Like, yeah, like she was the pioneer in our family mm-hmm. of faith. So yeah, she laid down the foundation. It was basically that verse that says like, instruct your child in his ways, and even if he veers off, like he'll always return. It was basically that, like she set the pattern, she set the rhythm, like it was church, church, church. And then it was like a combination also of like, you know, I enjoyed church, then I got incorporated into the worship team, whatever, which I love doing. So like you start bonding with the walk with Christ mm-hmm. in those instances, right? Like the more activities you do or whatever, like the more, like there's a bond. Like I feel like, I don't know, really know how to explain it, but it works in the same way with marriages. Like when two married people do activities together or certain adventures or whatever, like the bond just gets stronger. So it was kind of like that, where I just kept incorporating myself in church, and my roots went down to the point where I'm like, even when my mom was like, I'm not going to go, I'm like, I'm going. Like, but yeah, it's a combination of the foundation and I think of the spirit as well, because my mom had a foundation. Mm. And I believe it was like her spirit that like in that moment, like the fire went out for a second. She's like, I'm done. Nobody could take away that she had roots. And I think she still prayed in Dallas. It's just like in that moment, like that her spirit just... And so I think, yeah, it's a combination of both. Like it's your spirit. Cause like, in those moments where I was going through rough times, it was just like, I still have breath in my lungs. I can continue moving forward. I still have breath in my lungs. I can continue praying. I still have breath in my lungs. I'm still going to go to church and I'm still going to serve and I'm going to still do my best to bless the people at church. Like I still have breath in my lungs. Like, keep going. Like, it's almost like, what's that one movie that the guy keeps saying, like, one more?
Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah. Like, Hacksaw Ridge. If you haven't seen that movie, it's a pretty good movie. This soldier saves, like, a bunch of soldiers, mm-hmm. and he's, like, running out of energy, but he keeps praying, God, give me the energy to go grab one more.
Yeah.
And he ends up grabbing, like, what was it, like, was it hundreds or something like that?
Yeah,
it's, like, a high number. And so I feel like, I've had that spirit so many times, and I feel like with this ankle thing, I kind of thought the same thing where I'm like, it's not the end, you know? I think I probably would have been rocked more had it been like, David, you'll never walk again, or David, you'll never run again. Like, you're done. Like, there's more of a challenge, more of a test, right? Like, what are you going to do now? And the other thing that I wanted to talk about too is like, when those curveballs come our way, our reaction, right? Like, okay, we can look at David in the Bible, King David, he was a psalmist. You see his psalms almost always start with some sort of complaint. Oh my gosh, God, I'm dying. I can't deal with this, blah, 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 blah. My life is trash. And at the very end, he's like, but God, you're amazing. You're awesome. I'll always serve you. I love you. I'm here, you know? And the one thing that I want to like really put it out there, and I don't know if I've put it out there before, but just like, God is not scared of your emotions, right? In the moments where you lost your mom, I'm sure in your mind you had tons. You were probably cursing and all that stuff. Like, just like probably dark thoughts, you know, like, I'm done with this. This is dumb. You're not real. Yada, yada, yada. And I know I've had moments where I'm like, God, why me? And through therapy was when I really opened up. And I remember I had this moment with God where I was just like, bro, why me? And I just started complaining. And the only reason why I could complain is because I felt this sort of freedom of like, and finally get into a point of understanding of like, God is not scared of your emotions. Your emotions and what you say is not going to push God away. It's not going to make God cut you off. Mm-hmm. Like, if anything, God is happy that you have these complaints and that you are coming to Him with these complaints. Whereas, like we've said, we could have a choice of going somewhere else. We could seek the answers in a bottle. We could seek the answers in pills. We could seek the answers in other forms of pleasure or whatever. Like, but the fact that we are coming to Him, I am like certain that God is like, I love it. Come to me. Because we're in relationship. There's a bridge between me and you. There's a connection between me and you. You're my son. You're my daughter. Like, there's nothing that you could do or say that will separate my love from you. And so in those moments when curveballs happen, like, I hope everyone can feel free to like bring those complaints to God. Like, when you have a relationship with God, yes, you might start complaining, but at the end, you realize I'm complaining to God, and the fact that I can have this relationship and the fact that I'm still alive and the fact that there's still tomorrow, the fact like all these things is just like, God, I love you. You know, like, although this situation sucks, and although I definitely didn't want this situation to be like this, I still love you and I'll still serve you. And as long as I have breath in my lungs, I'll continue forward.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what like helped me personally with this ankle. And that's why, like, when you would ask me, I'd be like, no, I'm not depressed. I'm not even close to that. You know, because I had this like hope in me, like, there's always the next race. I'll get over this. This is temporary. And this is the thing that I was talking about before, where it's just like, tough times don't last. Tough people do. Like, this could be considered a tough time, but I know it's a matter of weeks and I'll get back and I'll start strengthening the ankle and so on and so forth. And I'll be back. There's still breath in my lungs. I'm not stopping. I'm going to keep going, moving forward one step at a time, one day at a time. Right. And the other thing that I want to bring up, and the other reason why I wanted to bring this up, is because I had this ankle injury, right? And so I can't run and I can't bike. Kind of like a hard break to me, right? But then I just thought, like, how can I continue moving forward? And granted, it was that thought, and also Instagram, for whatever reason, decided to start pushing me that way, which was learn how to swim. And again, I was watching these videos. I'm like, these people make it look so easy. I could do this. Like, I just needed a proper instructor.
Yeah.
And so I took it upon myself to learn how to swim. And right now I'm learning how to swim. You know, I'm gulping some pool water, but you know, I'm doing it. And it just, one of these days, like really came into focus and came into a perspective of sometimes curveballs are thrown our way. And depending on how we react, like, there's a, what is it? Romans, what is it? Do you know it off of your top of your head? Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Right?
I was just thinking that verse. We used it for study.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so I have a hard stop, and all of a sudden, I basically just pivot. And I'm like, I'm going to do something that I've never known how to do. And it just made me think, like, this could have completely derailed me.
Yeah.
This could have, I could have just stopped and just, because I'm not going to lie, there was thoughts in my head where I'm just like, screw it. I'm just going to take this time off, let this thing heal, and I'm going to eat what I want, and I'm not going to do anything and I'm just going to get big again and I'll have the perfect excuse. I can't do anything. So I'm just indulging. And I'm that type of person though. Like when I feel stopped, when the progress stops, when the motivation stops, I'm just like, let me just indulge. Let me feel good about something, you know, even if it's more temporary, but let me just feel good about something. Right. But I decided to do something that was a challenge to me. And I just thought like when curveballs happen, they can also be, they can be hard. They can be, you know, like painful, so on and so forth, but they can be also opportunities for you to level up. And I feel like this is what's happening right now with this whole ankle situation is that it's not stopping me. I'm still moving forward. I'm still getting better every day. And now I'm also leveling up. I'm adding something else to my repertoire. I'm adding something else that was never a skill of mine, which was low-key a fear of mine. Mm. Like you can ask my parents. They'll tell you straight up, like this kid was, I mean, my parents were ruthless when I was young. Like, oh, no, don't be a little chicken. You know, they used to be like, look at that little two-year-old jumping in the pool and you can't even, you know, do a thing, stop being scared. Like ruthless, like little bullies, kind of. But I'm doing this now and it just made me think like, it's one thing to go get a curveball. It's another thing of how you react. Are you going to react positively? Which means, okay, I'll get through this. But also, can it be an opportunity for you to level up? And that's when I want to get to the point of Romans 8:28, where we can see this and we could, as a Christian, be like, the devil did this to me. The devil took away your mom. The devil broke down our car. The devil took away our money. The devil had this situation where we had to spend money. Like, we could do that all day long. We could say it was life's curveball. We could say it was God, you know, like, but in the end, is there a purpose to it? 100% to everything. Can it be a mystery in the now? 100%. 100%. A lot of the things that you're going through, all the curveballs that you're getting right now, will be a mystery to you for a while. Like I've said it here before, like the whole thing with my dad, it was a mystery for a while. Why? Like why? Yeah. But then it made sense, right? And so same thing. Whether you want to call it the devil, life curveball, expect the unexpected, God, whatever, there's sometimes that the purpose is a test. Test of your faith, test of your character, a test of your roots, a test of just your spirit. Like, will you continue going forward if this curveball comes your way, or will you be completely derailed? What type of spirit do you have? Are you a quitter? Do you have that championship spirit? You know, like, are you going to believe that God will provide? Are you going to believe that God will heal? Are you going to believe that God's going to come through? And then also the level up part. Like when you go through hard things, I know it's very counterintuitive, but be thankful for them. Be thankful for the challenges. Be thankful for the hard times. Be thankful for the tests. Be thankful for the tribulations. Because if you make it through them, and it's all up to you if you make it through them, if you make it through them, you're coming out stronger every single time. It's a level up. Every single time, it's a level up, one way or another. And you can make the worst of it, or you can make the best of it. And like that's why I really admire you guys for what you went through. And again, like you guys are I think, similar to like little James in this scene. We're just like, God, why couldn't you just heal? Why couldn't you just do? And I almost hear the words of like, because I mean, in Chosen, like Jesus always talks about blessed. Like I just hear the word blessed all the time in that show, right? And so I kind of like hear the words like, blessed are those who don't receive what they're asking for, but continue worshiping me anyways. Blessed are those that continue asking me for things, but they continue serving the people around them. Blessed are those, the people that are going through hard times, that are truly going through tribulations and are still sticking with their faith. Like, I think that is so powerful in the same way that Jesus told little James in that scene, just like the weight of that. For you to pray and get what you want, it's almost, it's a testimony. 100%. And like, there's a will there's a will for each person when you're going through the things. Mm-hmm. For some of us, it'll be that. God, take this away. Boom, it took away. God, guess what, guys? God took this thing away. I had this thing and then he took it away. Like a Forrest Frank. I broke my back and like 4 weeks later, I'm fine. Okay, that's amazing. Now you tell the world and the world knows that God still lives, that God can still heal, that God can still do the miraculous, right? But also, blessed are those that are going through hard times, are praying to God, please take this away. Because again, it's a mystery in the now. And some of us feel like that's all we can really do is pray, God, please take this away. Please take this pain away. Please heal my mom. Please don't let my car break down. Please don't mess with my money. Please, please, please. God, Christians usually go like, God, if you really want to bless me with wealth, like I know you're not going to touch my money. I know it's not going to be you. And if something happens, it's going to be the devil trying to take this away from me, right? That's usually what the thing is. Like, ooh, the devil trying to come for my money. The devil trying to come for my car. The devil trying to come for my family or whatever. But really, it was a test the whole time. Like, I feel like the devil is a scapegoat so many times where just like, okay, let's say you label it the devil. So then now what? Like, there is no learning opportunity. Now it's just about like, God, are you going to replenish what the devil took away or what? But so many times, and some people without people really realizing or understanding, they're going through this process and then they see God's provision. They're like, oh, like God provided. But the whole time it was about your patience. It was about your character. It was about your faith. It was about your hope. It was about you telling the story of you going through that struggle and showing the type of character that you have while you go through that struggle. That's very important. And I go back to what I said last week of Deuteronomy. Keep saying over and over again, tell the people, tell the children, tell the people, tell the children, everything you've gone through, all the stories, everything. Tell them all, because they themselves may not be going through exactly what you're going through. But it is important for them to know that when you go through hard things, you might not get exactly what you're going to ask for right then and there. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you are having the character of still serving, praising, and worshiping is a tribute to a living God in itself. Like, why would you do that for a dead God? There's no way. It could only be that you serve a living God, that you are having this character. Like, there's gotta, you acting that way has gotta be a beacon of light of like, there is no way that you'd be doing these things for a God that's never done anything for you. But clearly God has done stuff in you that you're believing during this time. And now I've seen you struggle for months. Now I've seen you struggle through even harder times. Now I've seen the hard times pile on top of you. In some way, somehow, you're still faithful. That in itself, tell that story. And I'm telling you guys, like, tell that story.
Yeah.
Just know that when you're going through hard times, it's almost 100% a test of your character. It's a test. The only way to know that if you're growing is to take a test. How do you pass from grade 1 to grade 12? You take tests and exams to let you know, are you ready for the next grade? Same thing in college. Like, they don't pass you unless you pass a test.
That's good stuff.
I went on a rant.
No, but that's good stuff. Because you're passionate. And everyone goes through it. And how you say, I think a lot of us want to go, not against it, but we just want the easy way out, not knowing that there's something way greater and that we have to trust the process. We have to trust God because he knows what we're made of. He knows our potential. He knows what we could be, but we just don't want to go through that test, go through that training, go through that strength training, like, because that's kind of what it is, like, just, how can we get from this point to this point? It's through the struggle, through the tension, and so we need to hear it to get to that point.
Yeah. And then there's two verses, Psalm 34:18, that says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And also John 13:7 says, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand.
Mm. Sounds good.
And so, to bring it home, life is going to throw curveballs at us. There is no avoiding that. It's going to be painful. It's going to hurt. It's going to make you feel sad. Maybe some of you might be depressed. Some of you will have anxiety, stress. Because those curveballs, a lot of times, is stressful. And especially if you're not prepared for it. Mm. You know? And that also, you know, comes together with, you know, being wise in the moments that there are no struggles, you know? Me and you were wise financially. So the times that we had financial struggles, for the most part, we were always ready for it, you know? Especially when we first, like when we started doing like the whole financial journey, right? Like it still like stings, right? When things, curveballs happen, you know, like cars break down, people need help, whatever. It's like, oh man, like that was a nice number in the bank account, but like now we gotta spend this money, you know? And like, it's just like, ah.
Yeah.
But we were financially wise and so we were ready for it. And so like when you guys are not going through those life's curveballs, be wise with the time that you have. Be wise with the decisions that you're taking. Be wise with the things that you're learning, the things that you're investing in. Be wise, because that is also going to be a sort of foundation for you when you get these life's curveballs, yeah. Right? Like it would be, I think your best case scenario is that when you, like life throws you a curveball, that the best case scenario is that it's really just your character being tested, because you've built a good foundation in the spiritual aspect, the financial aspect, the relationship aspect, where it's just like, okay, we're rocked, but we're rocked together. We're on the same page. We're on the same team. We're fighting together. We both have faith in God. We have made financial, like, wise decisions. So it's like, it's just a test of our characters. Can we endure these trials and tribulations? Can we endure? Can we have hope? Can we, you know, tell the story? Can we be a beacon of hope, right? So that's the best case scenario. But when you go through these, like, just know that God wants to hear your heart. He wants to hear your complaints. He wants to hear your struggles and your broken heart. Like, he's there for you. Like, there, again, there is nothing like that that is going to make God just be like, buddy, go over there, figure it out, and come back to me. Like, no. Like, God loves that you keep coming to him with all these things. Sit in it, have a David spirit, let it all out, but then always come back to the refocus of, God, I love you. I'll continue to serve you. I'll continue to love you. I'll continue moving forward. And again, a lot of what we go through in the now are mysteries, but in time, you will understand the purpose and you will realize that Romans 8:28 comes to life every single time. Where things were meant to break you down, where things seemed like they were going to destroy you, God had a purpose for them. It was just a matter of a time for you to understand and reveal that mystery and just be like, oh, okay. And usually you get to that point where you're just like, that was worth it. During the time, it did not seem worth it. But after, 100% worth it. So, yes, I just want to encourage you guys, when you guys go through life's curveballs, there is no avoiding it. Just be strong, go to God, and just know that you are in the process of being tested and you are in the process of leveling up. And it is up to you if you pass the test. It is up to you if you come out stronger. It is up to you if you level up. It's about your decisions. It's about your spirit. It's about your foundation. But I believe that this community that is with us in the Better Every Day, I know that you guys are for sure going to come out stronger. And we love to hear those stories. We've heard some of the stories and we love it, especially with this run group. Like Nancy, the co-leader of it, asked a simple question of, hey, have you guys seen progress? And to hear the stories is just amazing of like, hey, like I could only run a little bit or I didn't even run at all. And now I'm running this. And it's just like, those are people that are taking it one step at a time and continue moving forward. And the character is building. They're building upon the character and they're basically revealing everything that God has placed in them since birth.
Yeah.
And that is something beautiful to see strong people rise up. And to see them just realize how special they are, how much God has blessed them, how much God has given them his character, and just to see them like flourish, like straight up like flowers just bloom, and just like, and to see them go from like, I don't know if I can, to like, this is amazing. I love this, you know? And so we encourage you guys, meditate on this episode, talk to family members, talk to friends. That is the whole point of these episodes. Mm-hmm. We're having conversations so you guys can have conversations at home as well, or with your friends, and for this to continue to expand and for you guys to just build upon what is already there. We love you guys, and we will see you guys on the next one.